Good morning. I want to greet each and one of you in Jesus' precious name. Bless you. Be here with you today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy. We ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. Help us be faithful to you. Lord, we just pray for encouragement and strength, Father. Lord, for a heavenly vision, Father. Lord, we just thank you again for all that you do. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Father, again, we just thank you. Bless this time again in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, I want to begin this morning, I think, in Matthew chapter 15. I think I'll just begin in verse 3. Says, and he said unto them, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? He was talking to the scribes and Pharisees here. He said, for God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or mother, and by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Stop there for just a minute and kind of look over this. Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and I've said it before. You know, we look at the scribes and Pharisees, and they're just a bunch of low-down scoundrels. That's what we, whenever we look back in history and we see these evil, conniving, wicked people, the scribes and Pharisees. You know, whenever someone would call someone a scribe or a Pharisee, or we would just, a Sadducee or a Pharisee, we would have just the, you know, that's just one of the lowest things you could say to someone. And that's our opinion of them. Whenever we look back and see about them and read about them, they are just snakes. And that's the way we do with all of the Bible. You know, we read about the people in the Old Testament, and we see their failures, and we just, oh, how could they do that? You know, we just look at them and just think how faithless they were. And even in the New Testament, we look at them and we see, you know, we see it. And we just wonder how they could fail so miserably. And that's the way we look at things. And in reality, you know, if we look at our own lives, we just don't see those things. We think that we're doing pretty well. We look at our own lives and, you know, we have the answers, in other words. Because we're able just to read their stories and we see where they failed, and we just kind of puff ourselves up and think that, boy, it's a whole different game for us. But that's not the way it is. And whenever we look at these scribes and Pharisees, in reality, they've been there and they're here today. And we just, you know, we think that they were just set for that time. But that spirit that they have has, you know, they were talking about the law. But, you know, it wasn't very long in the church that people had adopted the very spirit of the Pharisees. But instead of sitting in the seat of Moses, like Jesus talked about, they began sitting in the seat of Christ. You know, we can look back through history and we can see all their failings. But the people that were living at that time, they saw the scribes and Pharisees as the people that were trying the hardest to please God. They didn't see them as being evil necessarily. They just saw them as being the ones that they were the closest to God on earth. They had the authority. They had the position of God. And it's hard to recognize. You know, when we think of these people, we just see evil right away. But the people living in that time didn't see evil people. They saw somebody that was trying their hardest. They were saying all the right things. They were really diligent to try to keep all of the precepts and all the things they were supposed to say. And it was only a very few people that had faith that realized that all of those things that they're putting on really have nothing to do with what God wanted. And what I want to talk about this morning is scribes and Pharisees and faith. You know, faith, we've talked about the description of faith. Faith is an individual's response to God's claim on their life. And I want to emphasize that word individual. You know, whenever we talk about faith, we talk about people's faith. And when we say that, oh, they're of that faith, or they're of this faith. Their doctrine of beliefs, in other words, is their faith. But that's a perversion of what faith is. Because faith is an individual response to God's claim, not on a group of people's lives, but on your life. As an individual. You know, a lot of these groups, the Pharisees, would have, whenever they saw Jesus and he didn't go along with the group's idea or the group's faith, he was an individualist. Who is this man that comes along and could dare disagree with the group's consensus on what faith is? Anytime there's a group consensus of faith, that is a wineskin that when true faith enters it, it explodes it. You see, we don't want a faith that we have. We want the faith that each one of us as an individual has and walks with God and are able to work with one another and allow each person to have their faith. That is one of the clearest things that the New Testament teaches. And yet, whenever we start reading the New Testament and we start compiling the faith, we start building this box that doesn't have room for this person or that person because they're not of the faith. And just like when Jesus met with the Pharisees and they were wondering why he didn't keep the faith, that's the spirit of the Pharisee. And that spirit is alive and well today. One of the teachings that Jesus talks about in the Bible, all through the Bible, in Deuteronomy and then in Revelation, it talks about adding or taking away from the Word of God. These Pharisees had one of the things that a Pharisee, the things that they had done, the scribes and Pharisees, is they would take a law and, for instance, you weren't supposed to work on Sabbath, it said. So there would be someone out in a grain field on the Sabbath day, and so they decided, well, that doesn't look quite right, so let's write a law against that. So it was illegal even to be out in a grain field on a Saturday, because you might accidentally, I've heard some of the details, you know, just walking through there, a grain of wheat would fall off and get stuck in your clothes, and so therefore you've harvested on the Sabbath. That's the technicality of some of the rules and how they got. And so instead of just honoring the Lord on the Sabbath day the way they were supposed to, soon it became, you couldn't even walk in a wheat field, and that became the law. And it just overshadowed the real law. What it does is whenever scribes and Pharisees start analyzing things and breaking them down, instead of having a black and white line, they paint a big gray area over the line and say, don't touch the gray area. That would constitute you breaking the faith. And what happens over time, that gray area gets whitewashed, and people down the road come along and they see the gray area and they really don't know where and what it is, as they wind up oftentimes completely over the black line because they're not on the gray area. The gray area has covered up the black line and you can't even see it. So they, as long as they stay on one side or the other, it doesn't really matter anymore. Just like this, you know, we think when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he said to honor your father and mother. That was the law. And here, that had been traditionalized, Phariseeized, religionized, to it got to the point where if you give your money away to the church and say it's to God, you can completely ignore the responsibility to your parents. And that was just the rule of the land. That was the faith. That was someone that was extra holy. I'm going to dedicate my money to the church instead of honoring my parents. Oh, that was way up here in the people's eyes, because they were serious about following the Lord. They were dedicated to following Moses' law, to keeping God in his place. And so they were reverenced and respected because they were going far above and beyond what was required. They were going far above and beyond God. And that's what had happened. Boy, I'm glad we don't do that today. Aren't you? Like those wicked Pharisees that have just gone, we can see that plain as day here reading it. But the people of the time saw a very dedicated individual. And there wasn't one in how many that would ever even dare question his holiness or his devotion to God. Glad we're not like that. I'm glad we don't have to contend with anything like that. Or do we? You know, there's churches that all over the land that they have their own little set of rules that you've got to keep those rules before you can be a member of that church. And, you know, they're serious, they're good rules, because it makes the appearance, it has the appearance of somebody going above and beyond what it takes to please God or to please Jesus today. You know, we come from the world, some of us, and we see the carelessness of people. They go to church, spend their time in Sunday morning, put a little money in the plate, say a prayer once in a while, and then they go out. You know, they've said a prayer, so they're saved, they're good, and they just come and do their church thing and then go live however they want to. They got a picture of Jesus up behind them, and just about like the worldly clubs, you know, they just go and do their little time, and that's all it is. And we see that, and we realize that that is not what Christianity is. And we've learned to read whenever we start reading the Bible, and we start seeing what it actually takes, what Jesus actually wants of us to be a disciple. I remember growing up and being in church and seeing that and worried about being scared because there'd be a testimony or a time to come and make a confession about following the Lord or about being saved, and being back there scared. And I was thinking about anything I could instead of what was being said, because I didn't want to hear it. Because I knew I wasn't right with God. And just that uneasiness of being wrong. I knew I was wrong. And just ignoring it. And the reason was is because there was something there that I realized I needed something more. And I remember just running away and leaving it all, because I thought there was nothing there. And then whenever I began to read the Bible, and I began to see that it wasn't just about going to church every Sunday, learning how to say all the right things, learning how to testify and say my little piece, and it was about an individual choice and decision that I had to make to follow Jesus. The problem is whenever we make that decision, we're on a path. We get on the path, the straight and narrow. And God begins to guide us down that path. And we have to learn on that path that, wait a minute, I've been doing things this way and I can't do them that way anymore. And so we begin to change. We begin to conform to the Bible. And then we look out and we begin to see other people. Hey, they're doing those things. And so we start looking out for people, and we look all around at all these different churches, and nobody's putting this into practice. They've got their faith, but nobody's putting the teachings of Jesus into practice. So we just keep looking and looking and looking. And then, wait a minute, hey, there's a group of people that are putting this into practice. So we say, hey, that's a real refreshing thing. And so we begin to look at them, and we begin to see, hey, they're putting these in practice. And, well, wait a minute, though. They've got some other things there that don't quite understand. And I know in our case, my thought or our thought was to, you know, even though they're doing those other things, they're still doing the right things. And so we became associated with them, and we appreciated those right things. But after a while, there began to be pressure, you know, to conform and to really love these other things, because they were the traditions of men. They were what a group of people decided was right, because they were safe and they were protective. So, well, I can go along with them. You know, I can It's not sin for me to do them. And as we did those things, I was preaching. I remember just everywhere I'd go preaching, people would say, "Well, why would you have to wear suspenders? Or why would you have to wear black socks to church? Or why would you have to wear a black hat when you're out in public?" Or different things. And I'd been teaching people that we've got the Bible and it teaches how to live. And they were saying, "Well, show me where in the Bible you've got to do that." And I didn't have an answer that I could honestly give them. Had a pat answer, you know, you could say, "Well, church decided it, so we do it." But I couldn't live with that. Because I knew my path in walking in the faith. My faith did never lead me that way. It led me all these other ways. But it began to be I couldn't tell someone else to do that because it wasn't the faith. It was the faith that they had. Not a part of a person's faith. I began to realize, I can't do that. I can't do that. And so, I had to walk in the faith that was set before me, the path that was set before me, and lo and behold, I didn't get along anymore with the faith. You begin calling out things that Jesus just says, "Walk this way." And it begins to rub feathers and begins to rub people the wrong way and they don't like it. And as you look at it, you think, "Well, I'm just trying to follow Jesus." And people are upset. They don't like it. There's a lot of them that even are on your side. Say, "Yeah, you're right." And they kind of have the pity thing for you. But then when the church decides and comes to a vote, they all just sit on their hands and, "Oh, I feel bad for them. Feel bad for going through you being excommunicated. Feel bad for that." But they just sit there and watch it go by. This is the faith he's going against, basically. You know, that's the way it's always been. I've thought about it, you know, before that, you know, several hundred years before that, if you were not a part of the Roman faith, just a certain way, you know, everybody looked up to those people as being very dedicated. But then someone comes along and wants to just follow Jesus and be a part of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That contradicts the faith that man has, that a group has. And we know how that turned out. They began persecuting the disciples and the Christians, those individuals that just had faith on their own. You can't have faith apart from the church. It's impossible. It is the exact same spirit that the Pharisees had when they were attacking Jesus. And if we're of the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of the Pharisees are both alive and well today, and we're of one or the other, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And we talked about mercy and the difference between pity and compassion. You know, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of good people in these things that have pity. But it takes real compassion or real putting yourself in that other person's place to say, I'm going to stand with you in whatever you're going through. I'm going to be by your side. That's the difference between pity and compassion. We've got a lot of people that are left in some of those plain churches that are good people. They're friendly people. They're nice people. And they call us secretly and encourage us because they're moved with pity. They just don't quite have the compassion to say, I'm going to stand with you no matter what it costs me. You see, that's what a cross is. That's the difference between following Jesus with a cross and Christless or crossless religion that may be patterned after have a Christianity. You see, it's difficult to have faith because you have to walk that out yourself. No one else is. When you stand before God, the faith that you have won't be called to stand before Jesus Christ. You'll be all by yourself about your faith. Not about the group faith and all your buddies with you because we all agreed together. Each one of us will stand before God on our own about our faith, not the group faith, the church faith, which faith you're a part of. See, it's very comfortable to live in the faith. Be a part of a church. You know, we can just kind of, all we have to do is coast along and just don't upset the people in the church and I'm good. Just don't make any waves in the church. That is so safe and secure. You know, the world looks at it and says, you know, whenever they see somebody, oh, them poor people. But you know, most of the people in there are very safe and secure. And as long as they just stay and ride in that big old faith boat, they've got their friends around them and they don't really have to make any hard decisions on their own. They just float along. And that's why there's security there. That their security is in because I'm accepted by everybody else. The problem is I'm not going to be judged by everybody else. I'm going to be judged by the Lord. And He's calling us out of that safety and security to walk on water where the storm's raging, the lightning's flashing, the winds are blowing, the waves are crashing. And I've got to walk out there all by myself and Jesus. You see, the real faith is not a comfortable place. It's not necessarily a safe place in the world. It's not very a secure place. It's walking. It's faith. That's the path that Jesus walked. And when He walked that path, the Pharisees and the scribes thought it was terrible. And they attacked Him. Yea, even crucified Him. And ever since then, the Pharisees have risen up with one name or another, one faith or another, some of them even purporting to have the same faith. And anyone that actually walks by faith, they rise up against them because it doesn't work, it doesn't fit. And that spirit is alive and well today. Let's go ahead and agreed on. Verse 9 it says, but in vain they do worship me, teachings as doctrines, the precepts of men. After, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, hear and understand. It is not what enters the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds from the mouth, this defiles the man. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? See, the Pharisees get offended whenever their faith is challenged. But he answered and said, every plant which my Father did not plant shall be uprooted. He said, let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. You know, Jesus was just doing what he was supposed to do, and the Pharisees attacked him. He just tells us, you know, we wonder what to do. He says, let them alone. Basically. In other places, Jesus talks about the Pharisees. He said, they bind heavy burdens, but they won't lift a finger to doing it themselves. You know, they have rules that if you break this rule, then you're guilty. But it's not God's rule, it's their rule. They establish these things, and if anyone offends them and they go against their rule, then... But that binding heavy burdens, bunch of rules to keep you safe. But in reality, that one that's hardest, that faith, they won't lift a finger towards that. Now, I've talking with a man just this week, he was all about, you know, we got to keep the church pure. There can't have adultery in the church. And I said, well, you know, I've lived 30 years without my wife. And I'm not accepted by some people that jump up and down on those doctrines. They bind heavy burdens, but they don't know a thing about walking a minute in them. I just reminded about message we had a few years ago, that Jesus was a shepherd, not a sheepdog. Jesus calls his sheep and they follow him. A sheepdog goes around all over biting. The sheep hate the sheepdog, but they'll sure go where he wants them to go. They go around biting, making sure everybody gets in line and stays in line. And then the shepherd just calls and they follow. And there's very few that hear that voice. They just follow. Might be a little bit different looking path than what everybody else goes down, but they follow because they're following the shepherd. And that sheepdog is just around trying to make sure everybody's all in line. Those images, I can just see that in churches. You know, the sheepdog, every time you talk to them, sometimes when you say something, you confess something to them, or you share something, They get their little notebook out and write it down, put it in their paper. Then 10 years later, when there's a problem, the notebook comes out, and every one of those little things that you had shared with a brother come right back at you. That's a sheepdog. Just using that stuff to bite. You know, whenever you have a brother and you share with them, and then they turn and use that against you. That's not what Jesus did. It's not what he does. Having the spirit of Jesus or the spirit of a Pharisee. It's all still the same today as it was. We'll just look. May the Lord add his blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock this evening. Fellowship together. Lord bless you all. Depart in peace.